I'm glad to be able to mention some things regarding history of the Assembly. Just briefly, there were meetings held back in 1911 through 1914 by Mr. Dobbin, Mr. McCrory, Mr. Tuizo, Mr. Muir. And as a result, the Assembly began in 1914 with eight in fellowship. And it met in the home of Mr. and Mrs. Charles Atkinson on Euclid Street. I'm not sure how long a time they were there, but that's where it began. Then for a short time, it met in a rented building, I think, on Gamson or North Street, which I'm not just sure where. After that, the Assembly met on North Street, and that's where the Gospel Hall was for a number of years. That's what I remember. The building was one room with about a 3x7 entrance, so it wasn't very big. And as Bob was saying, sometimes it was divided off with curtains for Sunday school. And I remember a Sunday school treat there and learning Isaiah 53 and my knees shaking, of course. Anyway, next to the hall, just a driveway width, was a building where people lived. And in the summer, we'd open the windows for fresh air. And the neighbor seemed to have a very loud radio and was kind of a hindrance to the meetings. The meeting, the room was heated with a coal furnace in the basement. Only half of the basement had concrete floor. There were rather crude restrooms and a door out the back where there was just a small pond. And I can remember Ed and I getting polywogs out of that pond. And between the meetings, between breaking of bread and the Bible study or Sunday school, we would walk around a couple blocks to a little store and get an ice cream bar or candy bar. And so that kept us going. So that was on North Street, where we were for a number of years. My grandparents, Herbert and Murdy Schilling, came into fellowship in 1924. My mother, Elma, came into fellowship in 1926. And my father, Leon, came into fellowship in 1928. And they were married. Mr. and Mrs. Lauren McBain came in 1929, and he had many series of meetings. You've been hearing about the work he did in buildings and tents and whatever. He also worked in North Adams, and for several years there was an assembly met in North Adams, Michigan. I have a little booklet at home that my father had, kept track of some of the assembly funds at that time, and I don't recall the numbers, but sometimes a preacher would get $5 and maybe pay $2 for coal or something like that. So you can see inflation has set in. I was brought to meetings shortly after my birth, and heard the gospel, went to Sunday school all my life. My parents were saved. They read the Bible at home and prayed for me. And I went to all the gospel meetings that were held. I don't remember much about some of those meetings, but I do remember wanting to be saved, knowing I was a sinner and I would be in hell if I didn't get saved. Mr. Ernie Sprunt came to Jackson from Toronto and had meetings here, gospel meetings. And the meetings went on for a few weeks. And the last night, You know, I listened. I wanted to be saved. And the last night, as I was going out, he said, "Do you think you'll ever get saved?" But I wanted to be saved. I tried to take it in, and I thought, maybe I'm not going to be saved. And I got really seriously affected me. I went home that night in my bedroom upstairs, thinking about my sins and how my sins deserve God's judgment, how I could be in hell just like wicked men like Hitler, who were, things were raging at that time. So in 1945, in my room at night, I just admitted to God I was a sinner, and then I understood Jesus died on the cross for me. The verse came to me that I had tried to take in many times, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." And I understood really that's all it was, trusting in what Christ did on the cross. And I was saved. And I can say, it's a grand thing to be saved, like the song we sing. I was baptized in the YMCA in 1946 and came into the assembly, I think, the week after. And I've been saved for almost 70 years, so that goes back a little while. I was given a Bible by Archie Stewart, and when I was first saved, and he wrote words in it like from the Psalm, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Anyway, that was a treasure, really. I was thinking of the work in connection with the assembly. Mr. McBain had meetings in halls and tents, and as I said, in North Adams, as I think mentions was made of tents. I thought, this doesn't relate to Jackson, but I had a series of meetings with Mr. Ballhagen in a tent. It was a one-night series, because children were playing with matches and burned the tent down. After I was saved, sometimes my friends or that would ask me about the assembly, what I believed, and how we practiced or carried out the Word of God. Well, I had to go to the Bible and get the answers, so I had to study God's Word, and I did try to, early in life, make a study of the Epistle to the Romans so that I would have an understanding about the Gospel. In 1946, Norman Crawford came to live in Jackson. He had meetings with Mr. McBain, as you've heard, in the schoolhouse north of Jackson. And in 1950, he married Lois McBain. He had many series of meetings in halls and tents around this area, as well as in other parts of the USA. He began meetings in Clyde, Ohio in 1954, and an assembly was formed there sometime after, also an assembly in Mansfield. So we're thankful for Mr. McBain's efforts, Norman Crawford's efforts, in connection with the Jackson Assembly. In 1946, the building here on Bennett Street was purchased, and then in 1949, we gathered here for the first time, had an all-day meeting, and Christians from nearby assemblies came. In 1973, Donna Slack was commended to the work in Venezuela. And she faithfully served the Lord there for 33 years. She was loved by the Venezuelan people. And she built up the school there from a few classes to a number more classes. And she was a diligent worker and highly regarded in Venezuela. In 1989, the Assembly celebrated 75 years, and we still have a little booklet that was put together at that time. We had a special anniversary meeting then. In 1991, the door opened to take Bibles to Russia, and Jesse Pitch went. Later, many Christians and myself went in 1992 and after that. And I gave a little report in Oil Springs. And when I got there, I was rather shocked to see so many cars gathered and so many people. But as a result, a number of people went to Russia. And I mention this because in 1994, 1995, 1997, 1998, we had, you might call it a mini conference for in connection with the work in Russia and taking Bibles to Russia. And those who are interested came, and many of who came told about what they had done or expressed interest in going. In 1997, Paul Willinga went with me to Russia. So at that time, over 650,000 Bibles were given away free in Russia, and many since then. Over the years, gospel meetings were held twice a year here in Jackson, usually a tent in the summer, and maybe sometime in the winter months in the hall. Meetings have been held in rest homes, in villages around, in the shelter, children's meetings in Sunday school. Our first weekend conference, as far as I know, was in 1997. And I think we've had a conference every year since then. And I'll just end with this. We're thankful to the Lord for his preservation, his blessing over these many years. How thankful we should be. We're thankful, too, for the faithful attendance and labors of the Christians of the past years. And presently, to those who are older and younger ones, we're thankful for the interest and the care and the work that goes into carrying on the Assembly. But most of all, we need God's presence and blessing. And so I'm glad we could bring some of these things to your attention. Thank you.